Hello and welcome to the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. Be sure to follow OTG on Twitter at OTGBasketball. Also hit that subscribe button. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me as always, Harris Richard. What's good, Harris?
What's up, man? Not quite the activity that we possibly thought could happen on this trade deadline, but definitely still some things to discuss. I mean, not the blockbuster movement, but definitely still some youth movement.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of movement today. It wasn't the big-time trades that we hoped to see, but they will probably impact playoff scenarios, so we'll definitely talk about that. We're not going to talk about the DeMarcus Cousins trade or the Lou Williams or Bogdanovich trade. We already talked about those. You want to check those out. We launched a new podcast series this week, OTG Fast Break. It's kind of like breaking news type of thing, so it's Harris and I. We're on there, quick 10 minutes, breaking everything down. Check that out if you're interested in that. But today we're talking about the trades that happened today. And first one, OKC in Chicago. OKC picked up McDermott, Taj Gibson, and they sent out Cameron Payne, Jeffrey Laverne, and a second-round pick. What do you think of this trade? Do you think it helps push the Thunder in a more relaxing playoff position?
I really think that Gibson's going to give them a nice lift. I know McBuckets hasn't necessarily made a great impact in the league so far, given the opportunities that he had in Chicago, but I definitely think it's going to give them a nice boost. I like what Gibson had brought to the table in Chicago off the bench and sometimes in a starter role from the way he plays aggressively. Help them rebounding a little bit now that Kanter's still out. So I think Gibson will help them. And Dougie McBuckets, if given the opportunity, I think will give them a night. I mean, they desperately needed some shooters. I know they have more over there, but I think this definitely gives them some nice lift.
Yeah, it definitely gives them some nice lift. McDermott, you know, he's still young. Obviously, he has a chance. Westbrook's going to make him a better player. Taj Gibson, like you said, kind of gives him some extra toughness. You know, and I forgot to mention one person. Anthony Moreau is actually traded to Chicago as well.
Right.
But so that they lose that shooter. But from Chicago standpoint, yeah, they get Cameron Payne. I think that was like the centerpiece for them. They're really intrigued by him going forward as their point guard. And I mean, Laverne, nothing crazy. I mean, he could, you know, develop into a nice role player maybe, and then the second round pick. What do you think it says about Chicago moving forward?
Well, I'm not quite sure it says a ton about Chicago. What did they give up, a second round pick to? Or
no, they just
they received a draft pick.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not so sure it says a lot about them. The one thing that I took away from this trade deadline with the Bulls is that their main piece, and I know that was being rumored about Butler, their main piece is still intact. And I don't think it says one thing or another about them in that they'll still try to battle for I know they're giving up a couple rotation pieces, but they're still going to try to battle, you know, for the end of the playoff spot.
Yeah, I think they'll still battle, but I think getting Cameron Payne kind of gives you an idea. They're trying to get younger, get some more young players like they originally said they wanted to do last offseason. And it's been mentioned that Fred Hoiberg probably would do better with younger players to help him adjust to the NBA. He hasn't done a great job coaching vets from what I heard. So I think that could help him. And yeah, like I think losing Gibson and McDermott will have its impact. And, you know, they weren't even a Sherlock for that eighth seed. So they'll still probably be in the mix, but who knows? They might nick him out. It might make him in.
Yeah, this trade doesn't really jump off the page to me. Nothing really.
I mean, I think it helps OKC because it improves their bench substantially. You know, like they'll have two solid pieces off the bench now. And McDermott, I think if he can, Westbrook's going to make him better, set him up with plenty of open looks. They're not really going to ask him to do much. And Gibson just kind of adds, he fits well with the toughness in the big men they already have. You know, Steven Adams, Enes Kanter, even Nick Collison, like they're all pretty tough dudes and they're willing to bang around inside. And I mean, that gives them another presence inside.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see how Doug McDermott impacts this Thunder team. And like you said, his role is going to be different. He has never played with a person of Westbrook's caliber, and to get a shooter looks like that, it'll be interesting to see how he offensively, the minutes he plays, the attempts he gets, what kind of role he's going to play with them.
Exactly. On to another trade, Toronto and Phoenix. Toronto received P.J. Tucker for Jared Sollinger and two second-round picks. think this is a great move for Toronto.
Yeah,
I mean, Sullinger really hasn't played much. 2 second-round pitch isn't really anything. And they pick up P.J. Tucker, a small forward who probably can play a little bit of four as well. And he brings some real toughness to this team.
You could make the argument it's one of the more impactful trades we've seen on a, obviously a smaller scale. But P.J. Tucker was discussed for several weeks that he was going to be moved. And I think this is a good spot for him. A team that was active before in adding Ibaka, now adding Tucker for a defensive presence, and definitely helps them perimeter-wise because it's going to definitely take some pressure off DeRozan and Lowry. So I really like this move for the Raptors. I think we're in agreement on this one.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at it, probably over the last, you call it the last week, the Raptors are winning the trade deadline, the trading, you know, period. Picking up Serge Ibaka and P.J. Tucker for their playoff run, that's big, especially when the team struggled a little bit early in 2017. You know, so far this year, they haven't been amazing. Adding some extra reinforcements definitely will give them a nice boost, and it might give them a chance to compete with Cleveland.
Yeah, and they need all the help they can get there. You know, we talked about how they needed help in the front court in Toronto, and they got that. And now adding depth in their backcourt from a defensive standpoint, it's extremely important and not really giving away much either.
Exactly. I think that's a big thing too. They didn't give away a first-round pick. They didn't give away, you know, like Corey Joseph or any of their young players. So I thought that's important. On to another trade. This one's not really impactful. The Suns acquire Mike Scott from the Hawks for cash. I think it's probably either a roster dump or a salary dump for the Hawks. I heard that they were trying to make moves from Jimmy Butler and Paul George, so that could have been a part of a bigger move for them. But it looks like nothing really is going to come out of that. Mike Scott hasn't done well since the Hawks had that really good season a few years ago. He had some legal issues. So,
well, let's talk about another small deal that's near and dear to your heart. The Rockets giving the Nets KJ McDaniels, and you know the Nets, the Rockets obviously doing it for cap space. But how do you feel about this deal for your Nets?
Great move. I mean, you really can't go wrong with this. You have the extra cap space anyways. The Nets are still, I think, 800K under the salary floor, so they still need to probably sign someone this year or do something. But I mean, I like McDaniels as a prospect. He's an athletic guy. He can be a defensive wing. Obviously, his jump shot's inconsistent. If he could work on that, no harm, no foul, bringing him in.
Yeah. And why do you think that there was so much swing and miss at Paul George?
Well, I think the reports have been that Paul George has like kind of made it known that when his contract is up, unless the Pacers are competing for a title, he's going to head to the Lakers. So I think the Pacers got a little bit nervous. Maybe they sensed a different vibe from him over All-Star weekend and they wanted to test the waters or maybe get an idea of what teams are willing to offer for him because they're going to make a move and make a decision this summer. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's tough to say. I mean, it looked at like one point that Paul George might have been moved at like by the end of the day, but nothing really came of it. It's hard to trade a superstar player like that. Him and Jimmy Butler, it's just tough to move those type of players, especially during the season. And just like so quickly, it kind of just like popped on us that Paul George trade talk. Like the Jimmy Butler kind of has been in progress for a while, but like the Paul George thing kind of popped up. I mean, I still think you could see those guys move this over the summer.
Oh yeah, I think George is going to be moved over the summer. I have a feeling about that.
It's just like a weird vibe that I'm sensing from that situation. It just seems like Paul George is like disinterested with the Pacers.
Something I'm always interested to see is guys like Paul George, Butler, even Carmelo to a certain extent, guys that aren't moved, play the second half with their team and how they perform post-trade deadline, whether there's any extra added motivation. I'm always interested to see how guys, especially superstar caliber players, perform post-trade deadline.
Yeah, that's very true, especially when their name's in the mix a lot and you know they don't end up getting moved. It's just like, I mean, it has to be kind of awkward, and honestly, like just thinking about it. But especially when you know that some of these – you could be brought up in trade rumors just in a few months again. So we also had another minor trade. The Lakers traded Marcelo Huertas to Houston, who got waived for Tyler Ennis. Not really a huge move there. Denver picked up Roy Hibbert for a second-round pick that's highly protected, so really it was just like a salary dump. And then probably the other most substantial move of the day was Dallas picking up Nerlens Noel for Justin Anderson in a – heavily protected first-round pick that's probably going to end up being 2 second-round picks.
Yeah, and this is something that we've discussed for a long time about how, you know, obviously Okafor's name was on the trading block and Noel, the decision that the Sixers made going forward of what bigs they would keep, and Embiid, made his case and made it clear that it was okay now for the Sixers to go forward with shopping out their other bigs and Noel a new home in Dallas.
Yeah, and I think the problem was Okafor's value was just so low at this time that they weren't getting any fair offers. So they moved Noel, who has played well of late and kind of had some value. I was surprised they got Justin Anderson for him just because, you know, he's still a young player. He showed some nice flashes in his rookie year. This year he hasn't been as productive as people probably hoped. And Noel's a free agent at the end of the year, so it looks like Dallas will likely have to come close to maxing him out, I've heard.
Noel getting a max?
Well, for him, yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, I'm not really, like, sold on Nerlens Noel. Obviously, he's shown flashes, but I think consistency is an issue for him. And it's just, like, his lack of offensive game can kind of be scary sometimes.
That's crazy. And oh, how the mighty have fallen in terms of Roy Hibbert a few years ago, looked at as one of the up-and-coming centers in basketball.
He was looked at probably as the best defensive center for a little bit.
Yeah, it's amazing what's happened to him.
Yeah, talking about players that have kind of, you know, fell off a little bit, Deron Williams and Andrew Bogut were rumored to be waived today, so bought out. And it looks like Deron Williams is probably headed to the Cavs from most reports.
Yeah, and what about Bogut? Isn't he going to the Sixers?
No, he was sent to the Sixers. Sorry, he was part of that Nerlens Noel trade, but he's going to be most likely bought out as well. And he'll mostly go to a contender. It'd be kind of funny if he went to the Cavs and then he faced the Warriors in the finals on the opposite side this time.
Deron and Bogut going to the Cavs.
Yeah. I think D-Will can give him some nice boost.
Yeah. And we've mentioned how that we just both think that's the right fit.
Exactly. And, you know, he's kind of like he can play really well for you in flashes. You know, like he's not obviously Deron Williams when he's on Utah or even like his first or two seasons with the Nets. He can still give it to you once in a while, though. You just don't need to ask him to play more than 15, 20 minutes a game on a regular basis.
Yeah, and somebody to spell some of those starters some minutes, especially when Love and Smith are going to still be out. It's just important for those guys down the stretch and not have to expend themselves. And I don't think we're going to see them going crazy after that one seed anyway. I don't think it's something that is a top priority for them if they have to sacrifice – these last couple of months, some rest in the regular season.
Yeah, and I think that helps with that as well. And I think, like you said, the Cavs really—they're not dying over that number one seed. You know, they don't need it to win, get to the finals. So,
Is the one seed? You think something in the grasp of Boston? Is it something that I know Boston was? Speaking of the trade deadline, was pretty inactive for the most part, and there was a lot of rumors of them adding
passively active.
They were one of the few teams that had multiple. I mean, you could make the argument that at some point or another you heard Butler's name brought up with Boston, you heard Paul George's name, and I think there was a point in time where Carmelo's name was brought up in Boston. So nothing going on in Boston. They really don't improve, but I still think they have an opportunity to catch the Cavs, but it's just interesting to see how, with all that activity and all that talk, nothing goes down in Boston.
Yeah, I mean, I think the reason Boston's always brought up because they have probably the most assets in the league and they can really trade for anybody, and they're in a position to contend. So, I mean, and we all know they're kind of one player away. I don't know what it says about the Celtics. If they think that bringing in Butler or George wouldn't have been enough to push them over the top, that would have to be the thought. Because, I mean, I don't think it would have been that crazy to trade some of the trade offers we've heard them not accept. It's like, when are you going to finally just pull the trigger and, like, you know, take that next step forward?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're going to get a number one pick this year, probably first pick in the draft. But, like, there's a chance that player is obviously not immediately ready to impact your team and help you moving forward. Whereas, so a Jimmy Butler or a Paul George is – probably going to make you a contender to win the Eastern Conference this year.
Yeah. No, I thought that if I had to give a prediction, I really had believed that George was going to find his way to Boston. That's what I was thinking.
I have a question. Who would you rather have, Paul George or Jimmy Butler?
Butler? But it's close. It's really close. And the reason I say that is because Butler has emerged as – I would say not maybe a superstar in this league, but definitely one of the premier two-way players, but I think George has more staying power and he's been doing it for longer. So it's to me that it really is a toss-up, but I might lean towards Butler because
I think contracts not included, I would go with Paul George. Contracts included, I'd go with Jimmy Butler because I think Butler has like another year in his deal, which makes a big difference and it lets you kind of relax a little bit. Where so Paul George in 2018, you're going to have to max him out and have to figure things out.
So there really is a good question because
I
George
would
is
probably go with
26.
George if I had no contract talk, just because I like his pop. Like I just think George has like Butler. Don't get me wrong. Obviously, he's a two-way player, works extremely hard. But I don't know if he's as talented as Paul George is.
Yeah, but his offensive game is definitely, he's definitely made some strides on the offensive side of the ball. That's a really good question. I haven't really thought about that much,
I
but
think
that's
Paul George
really
is a little bit inconsistent on the defensive end, but if you put him on a team like Boston, he's kind of into like a more relaxed role, like kind of you've seen Kevin Durant in Golden State. I think Paul George would see more of his game as well.
Yeah, I think that'd be an interesting question to pose on the
To
to
poll.
propose on the poll on the Twitter on the OTG Twitter poll because I'm actually interested to see what our fans and Twitter followers have to say about that. You have to start your franchise tomorrow, Paul George or Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, that's very, it is. It's a great question.
Interesting. It is. It's interesting. And the Celtics had a were in play for both. And one thing I also want to mention is that this Derrick Rose Ricky Rubio trade was something that the Knicks were in on. It seems the from what
Yeah, no,
I'm
the
seeing,
Timberwolves walked away. The Timberwolves walked
right?
away.
Yeah, and the thing about that is you didn't hear today. You didn't hear much about Carmelo, and that those talks kind of died down yesterday. Obviously, we knew he had to waive his no trade clause anyway. But the Knicks were right there, and they were willing. They left the table. They left the offer on the table as far as straight up Rose for Rubio, and like you had mentioned, the Timberwolves walked away and balked.
Yeah. And I kind of understand why the Timberwolves walked away. I don't know why they kind of wanted Derrick Rose in the first place. I guess Tibbs wanted to bring him in because he obviously he's had him before, but he doesn't really fit well with that team. And I don't think he sets up the young players as well. Obviously, it's been mentioned, especially along this talk, how Rubio would have helped Porzingis, but
Yeah.
Derrick Rose really hasn't helped Porzingis. And I said this early on in the preview show that I didn't like the moves that the Knicks made because I didn't think it helped Porzingis, who should be the number one priority in New York.
Yeah, and you just thinking about Rubio's leadership ability, his vision, and you'd think he'd put his arm around Porzingis, they'd have a better bond, both foreign guys, and you'd think that would be something that would entice the Knicks, and that's probably why
Even
they
helped
tried
Melo
this.
out too. It helped Melo too. It set him. He'd set Melo up, for a great opportunity to score a lot of the time.
Yeah, he's one of the better table setters in the league, no question.
Yeah, his problem is his jump shot, and
Yeah.
that does really make it difficult. But sometimes, if you have a stretch big like Porzingis who can shoot, and you could put a two guard out there that can shoot, like Courtney Lee and Carmelo, obviously shoots really well for a small forward, it could kind of mask the issue a little bit.
Yeah. No, I could see
Obviously.
why the Timberwolves were turning this down, though, because they want to continue to develop their younger players. And I think they're going to keep Rubio around. I know LaVine, especially with LaVine out also.
Yeah, I mean, I could see them. They've been like trying to move Rubio for like it seems like a year or two now. So maybe this summer they move him. They pick up another veteran guard and they get rid of Rubio. He's not a bad player. I mean, obviously he's not one of the top 10 guards in the league, but still somebody who can help make players better.
For sure.
But
Well,
talking about basketball, we finally get it back tonight.
yeah,
It's been a
excited.
long break. And obviously, probably the number one thing we're looking for is we want to see DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis.
Number zero making his Pelicans debut tonight, DeMarcus Cousins.
And they're facing off against the Houston Rockets, correct?
Yes, at home.
Yeah, so Houston's another team that made a lot of moves too. So they've added some players. It'll be a really exciting game probably. I'm not going to look too much into it because obviously one game with a new teammate and especially of the caliber of the players we mentioned. It's going to take a little bit of time that everyone get comfortable with each
Yeah,
other.
I think the number one question is, will they coexist? Will this
I mean,
benefit the Falcons going forward? And is this a team that's going to be able to make up enough ground to make a postseason appearance this season?
it's going to be hard because I think Denver's still a good team and they're young players, so they're really only getting better. But if they click fast, which I think they could because obviously they know each other really well. And actually, one of our new writers, Mike Ciervo, actually wrote an article talking about how Cousins is not usually smiling and happy and laughing around, and every time you see a picture of him and Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins is smiling and laughing. So I think that relationship is really going to help. And he also talked about in the article as well how Davis is always kind of calm and collected, where DeMarcus Cousins, we know, is really emotional.
Yep.
So they're going to kind of balance each other out a little bit. I think it'll also help Davis, too, to kind of just playing with a player along that caliber just helps so much. And it's not like either of them have, like, any holes in their offensive game, I would say, because they both can shoot long range, they both can shoot mid range, they both can finish inside. So, like, you know, Anthony Davis gets doubly dished the ball to DeMarcus. DeMarcus can shoot wherever he's at right there or make a play, and they both can handle the ball. So,
yeah,
it's not like we're talking about two big men who only have post games. You know what I mean? Like, they can do a lot of things with the basketball.
This is a Pelicans team that I already thought was making some strides this year. And, you know, playing around 500 ball at home. I think Alvin Gentry, through all the injuries, had done a solid job thus far. And now he's faced with an exciting challenge. It's a challenge, but to him, it's good. He has to interpret it as an exciting challenge to try to see how he can incorporate these two. It's, I want to say, a coach's dream to bring in Cousins, but I think with the way this team is set up, they obviously have to add some pieces to be amongst the title contenders, but the way this team is set up, it's definitely going to cause havoc amongst front courts around the league.
Yeah, I mean, in the playoffs, it could be an issue just because obviously the starters play so many more minutes. And Drew Holiday has looked great. Yeah. And adding a player like DeMarcus Cousins is only going to make him look better. I think that three-player combo right there, I think he'll re-sign in the offseason, and that'll be their core moving forward. And they're all pretty much about to enter their prime, and they're all looking great, like great players. So, yeah, I mean, I'd be pretty happy.
Holiday, remember, missed like what, the first 15 games of the season?
Yeah, exactly.
This is a team that started 0-8. If you remember, they started 0-8.
Imagine they've just won two of those games. They'd be in great shape right now.
They started 0-8 and have since then have played around 500 ball. And now you add Cousins to that mix. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see how this – and I think NBA fans around the country tonight will be tuning in to see how this works out.
Yeah, this game will definitely catch some hype.
Yeah, for sure.
Is there anything else that you're going to be, you know, keying on in this final stretch of the season?
I honestly want to see as far as the one seed in the East is something interesting. As far as the contenders go in the East, like Washington, Toronto, Boston, which one of these teams emerges as the clear-cut challenger to the Cavs in the Eastern Conference, and what the Clippers are going to do? I mean, I think it's going to be interesting to see this last stretch run for them and how they position themselves going to the postseason. I know Paul was cleared to play tonight.
Yeah, talking about that, Paul's coming back. It looks like Pau Gasol should be back soon. Enes Kanter should be back soon. Jeremy Lin should be back soon. If not all tonight or the next day, around this week they should be back, which is exciting news.
Yeah, for sure. And like I said, I think that it's going to be interesting to see who emerges out of the East to be the challengers over there.
Who's your pick? Who's your pick? If you had to pick, you know, your
Washington.
Team.
Washington.
I think that Bogdanovich trade really helps them as well. It really gives them a little bit of pop to their bench.
Yeah, I think Washington, Boston, if everything stays how it is right now, we could see a really good second round series in Boston and Washington.
Yeah. I mean all like the top four teams in the East they're looking good. The Raptors really made some good moves.
Yeah, they did.
Ibaka and Tucker bring, you know, they bring some toughness and some defensive ability. Ibaka obviously isn't the defender that he once was, but his offensive game gives him something at the four spot pretty much where they're getting much to nothing other than Patrick Patterson. So it's going to be a really interesting race for the top four seeds in the East and see how that all goes down. The second round of the Eastern Conference playoff should be good regardless.
I mean, other storylines we're going to be looking at, the MVP, how many triple-doubles is Westbrook finished with. I think it's going to come down to him or Harden for the most valuable player award. And
I think the Rockets – Rockets like continue to do really well and they win a ton of games, they win 60-plus games, it's going to be hard for Westbrook to win, especially if Harden puts up those type of numbers. just because they're going to, you know, win so many games. And in the past, obviously, the team that wins the most games ends up with MVP, it always seems like.
You know, who's going to win the West? Who's going to win the eighth seed in the West? You know, it's coming down to what it's looking like going to be the Nuggets, Trailblazers, and Pelicans. You'd have to think the Kings are kind of out of consideration now. That
yeah, imagine the Kings play like amazing all of a sudden.
It's like, that would be funny. But what about you? Is there anything specifically that sticks out?
I mean, I'll be looking at Houston. I really am interested to see how they go, and like, are they really going to be able to compete with Golden State and give them a challenge? I also want to see if Cleveland lands Deron Williams, and if they possibly land Andrew Bogut. I think that would be huge. And that would really, like, give them a nice boost to match up with Golden State just with all that talent they would have, and they would actually have a bench too. So, and they would have, like, just so much versatility. I think that would be a great – that would be, like, a key thing I'm going to keep an eye on. But
and I know the Jazz have kind of gone under the radar a little bit, but
– yeah, the Jazz definitely have too. They have plenty of young players too. So they had asked around for a few guys, but they have no need to make a move really.
Yeah.
Personally, the one thing I'll probably watch is Jeremy Lin and Brooke Lopez. I want to see how that works. They've only played 10 games together with Lin's injuries. So see if I can get some good chemistry in that and probably watch Caris LeVert develop a little bit more. I really think that kid's going to be great.
Yeah, I really like him as well. And I think, you know, if the Nets kid could find some talent like that late 20s, like we talked about yesterday, where their draft picks could possibly be, I think he could be one of the nice young players in this last year's draft class, and hopefully they could find talent like that. But I think there's going to be some stuff to look at in Brooklyn, like you mentioned, Lin coming back. And again, another, you know, guy that stays is Lopez.
I saw someone tweet this: Brook Lopez is undefeated against the trade deadline, because I mean, Brook has been mentioned in trade rumors what it seems like his entire career.
And credit, though, he's been a professional about it.
Exactly. I mean, this is one reason that I really – Brooks, one of my favorite players on the Nets, if not my favorite, just because of his personality, the way he handles himself. And he always says that he wants to play on the Nets his whole career, even though they tried to trade him like a million times. But I like what the Nets did this year. They really didn't, I don't think, try to like trade Lopez. They set a high bar. If someone wanted to throw a lot of picks at them or throw a good trade offer, they would take it. But they're not going to go and just take nothing. They have no – there's no need to move him.
Yeah,
especially if he's not complaining about being part of the rebuild. You know, a lot of the time when your best player is somebody who's averaging over 20 a game and is probably one of the best offensive centers in the league, he's not complaining about being there, and he has no problem losing all these games. You know, you have no need to push him. Obviously, if you can get assets, you get assets, but if not, oh well.
Brooke has been, like you talked about, the complete professional team first guy that you need from a superstar or borderline superstar, but star, and he just needs help. And that's the bottom line. He just needs help.
Yeah. I think, you know, they're definitely doing the right direction. It was kind of nice to be at the trade deadline and see the Nets not trading away a first round pick and getting one back. It was kind of a weird feeling. So that was nice. And hopefully going forward, they can give him some help. And I like what they're doing, adding the young guys, even KJ McDaniels. At least, you know, they're going to get a look at him, and they're going to get two young players probably in this year's draft coming up. And so far, what I've seen from the front office, they've done pretty well picking out talent.
I think they're in the right direction. You got to give him credit.
Yeah, exactly. Sean Marks has done a good job. Kenny Atkinson has done a good job as well. So I'm excited. Obviously, they're not going to make the postseason anytime soon, but heading in the right direction says a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
But that wraps it up. We'll catch you guys on Saturday again. You know, you got to hear us a lot this week. Let us know if you liked it, hated it, or whatnot. But just hit that subscribe button.
Yep, and we'll talk to you this weekend, and enjoy Cousins' debut.